I do not know if it would be an answer that jumps immediately to mind if we were asked, what is a part of a life of faith? But hospitality has always been essential to the faithfulness of the love of God. Whether we are talking about Abraham and Sarah greeting the Lord outside their tent, providing rest and water, or whether we are thinking about the widow of Zarephath tending to Elijah's needs, welcoming him into her home, or whether it was making room for Joseph and Mary in the stable where Jesus was welcomed into this world, or whether it was Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house to share an unlikely meal where it is difficult for us to discern whether Zacchaeus or Jesus was the host. That hospitality opens doors. And maybe based on our experience, we know what it means when the book of Hebrews says in chapter 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, because some have entertained angels without even knowing it. That if you've ever stayed in a cabin up in the mountains or rented a condo at the beach, maybe you have signed one of those guest books that sits on the coffee table in the middle of the room. That it is the book that the owner leaves in order to welcome the guests and to invite them to share their thoughts, reflections, and recommendations with everyone else who passes through. And I was flipping through one of those guest books, reading through all of the entries where it said that Audrey came to the town where she was from. And her favorite part was mini golf with friends, because she took home the championship trophy. And the McKenzie family, who was from Dallas, went on a hike one afternoon and ran into a bear with her cubs. That doesn't happen in Dallas. And Taylor just loved eating dinner at Smoking Dave's Barbecue, the best barbecue she had ever tasted. And Keith and Megan enjoyed their time at a family destination wedding. It was supposed to rain, but it ended up being a beautiful afternoon. And Mark had to go back to Lisa's fudge shop twice. It was expensive, but it was well worth it. And Carl celebrated his grandfather's 90th birthday, and he will never forget the smile on his grandfather's face when they brought out that cake with all the candles. And the Bendel family celebrated New Year over the weekend, but it was as cold as Antarctica. That they are cherished moments and celebrated memories. But if I am honest, I did not detect any angels on my first reading. That as it turns out, hospitality is more than leaving a key under the mat or a guest book on the coffee table. It's not only opening up the door to our homes, it is making room in our lives. Not just opening a door, but also opening our hearts. It's why Lonnie Pratt and Daniel Homan write, to do so, to open one's heart, is a whole lot braver than it sounds. Because an open heart is vulnerable. And an open heart can change. that they go on to say, we discover the world is filled with people that are nothing like us, and it is a delightful thing. The stranger helps us locate our favorite lies. The stranger helps us see the absurd in our culture or in ourselves. The stranger opens our eyes. It's why hospitality has always been at the center of faith, because faith has always been about seeing. I once was blind, but now I see. Even if that means seeing our favorite lies. Where we discover that not everyone experiences life as we do. And we can learn from them. And where we see that not everyone has the same opportunities as we do, which means we can easily misjudge others. And where we see that not everyone has the same complaints as we do. And in light of that, sometimes we complain too much about small things and not enough about big things. And where we discover that there are angels, where we assumed there were not. Because strangers open our eyes. And Jesus was always opening his heart to others. It's why he recommended taking the lowliest seat at the dinner party, that he would not sit up there in front next to the person of honor, because he knew everyone's attention in the room would be focused up front, including his eyes, which means he would never be able to see the angels just over his shoulder. So when he went to that Pharisee's house to share a meal, he told them a story about a wedding banquet. Don't ever take the seat of honor. The host may come by and tap you on the shoulder and say that somebody else needs your seat. That when you go to a dinner party, don't even look at the seating chart. Just sit in the back. That if we sit up front, we might never entertain angels. That if we are focused on the person of honor or the people that we gravitate towards naturally or the people that we are most comfortable with, we might never see the person who's right there in front of us, who just might have something important to say. That we should gravitate to the person on the edges, because that person may have something to say that we've never heard before. And because that is where we find Jesus and where we find angels in this world. Showing hospitality to strangers is, at least in part, what Jesus means by loving your neighbor as yourself. And in his book, The Second Mile, David Brooks tries to describe the characteristics of a neighbor. That a neighbor accepts inconvenience for the benefit of the community. that a neighbor cherishes responsibility for others. Where the least are the most. Which is why Jesus said, whenever you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That a neighbor puts hospitality first. And whenever we hear that word, we might think of the hospitality industry. A mint on your pillow, 24-hour valet service. But what Jesus describes is not a consumer-oriented spirituality. It's not a program. It's making room in our lives and opening up our hearts to others. The theme this summer for Passport was big. And we heard our children and youth tell their stories about Passport from this summer so eloquently on Thursday that every day had a different theme. Trusting our big God, leaning into a big faith, embracing a big community, and making a big impact. And the common thread that ran through every single one of those daily themes was the fact that we live in a big world. That God's world is always bigger than my world. And hospitality, as we see it, and Jesus opens the door to God's world. And our camp pastor at Passport Youth was Anna. She was terrific. She's a teacher in a small town in North Georgia who loved telling stories about the Jeep Festival that came to her town every year, where the streets were covered in hundreds of Jeeps of all kinds and colors, and that she cherished time with her extended family. That her grandfather, whom she calls Pap, always took the family out to lunch after church to the small German restaurant in town. But apparently, you shouldn't be in a hurry to get there because Pap is a talker. That it takes him a long time to leave church. That it's not a short walk from the sanctuary to the parking lot, apparently, because he talks to everybody. That he wants to ask how the high school football game was Friday night. And he wants to ask the teenager how his math test was on Wednesday. He wants to know how your aunt's doing in the hospital. He wants to know how your grown son is enjoying that new job he started 3 weeks ago. And along the way, as he's talking to everyone, he invites everyone to lunch, like everyone. So by the time they arrive to the German restaurant in town, he has a crowd of people with him. And Anna says that he tells the hostess the same thing every Sunday. These are my 83 cousins. Anna said that her grandfather taught her the power of an invitation. That she witnessed the grace and the goodness of hospitality. That she learned to open her heart to others. Because God's world is always bigger than ours. Amen.